If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to turn with us to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll be there in a few moments. We have covered quite a bit the book of 1 Corinthians. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, of course, we said about the church at Corinth, that the church at Corinth was a carnal, worldly, and fleshly church, and the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, specifically in 1 Corinthians, for two purposes. Number one, to correct problems, but then number two, to answer questions. Well, now that we come to 2 Corinthians, those questions have been answered, those problems have been addressed, and unfortunately, or fortunately now, Paul writes this letter of 2 Corinthians for several reasons. Number one, he wanted to encourage the church. He wanted to encourage them to forgive and restore a church member who had caused all of the trouble in the church at Corinth. But he also wanted to explain his change in plans and also reemphasize his authority as an apostle. But finally, and this is the key we're going to look at this morning, is he wanted to encourage the church to share in the special relief offering he was taking up for the needy saints in Judea. Now, as you get into the book of 1 Corinthians, one of the key words that you'll find in this letter is comfort or encouragement. The Greek word means called to one side to help. And this verb of comfort or encouragement, you'll find used 18 times in the book of 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, excuse me. You'll find the noun used 11 times. And in spite of all the trials that Paul has experienced, Paul was able, by the grace of God, to write to the Corinth people a letter that was saturated with encouragement. To write a letter that was saturated with not just encouragement, but a letter that was saturated with comfort. And as we look through it, we're going to see just what some of Paul's secret of victory was when he was experiencing pressures and trials. And really, the secret was no secret at all, because the secret was God. And that's what I want us to grab hold of this morning, that when you and I are dealing with the pressures and trials of life, how do we deal with them? Well, there's only one way to deal with them, and that's with God. That's with the Lord. He's the only one this morning that can really, truly help us overcome the trials, the tribulations, the pressures of life. You see, this morning, when you find yourself discouraged, when you find yourself ready to quit, when you find yourself ready to throw in the towel, maybe just a little bit, we need to get attention off of ourselves. We need to get attention off of our problems and get our attention and our focus back where it belongs, and get that focus back on God. Get our focus back on the Lord. And out of his own difficult experience, Paul tells us just how we can find encouragement in God. That's what I want us to see this morning. You're there, 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. And notice there with me, if you would, verses 1 through 11. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The Bible says this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, and so much that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered unto us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. I want you to notice that phrase there, verse number 3. And Paul here, he begins this letter with a doxology. He certainly could not sing about his circumstances, but he could sing about the God who is in control of all circumstances. Paul had learned that praise is an important factor in achieving victory over discouragement and depression. You notice there, verse number 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and notice this phrase, and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. For a few moments this morning, that's what I'd like to preach you on, this thought, the God of all comfort. You know, oftentimes we say prayer changes things. And folks, I don't ever want us to get over that truth this morning. Prayer does change things. I believe this morning we could go row by row, aisle by aisle, person by person, and ask, was there ever a time in your life that God answered a prayer? And I believe we'd be here all day listing off just exactly how many prayers God has actually answered in our life. But I believe this morning, not only does prayer change things, but praise changes things. To praise our Lord. You say, how are we to praise Him in the trials? Well, how about this? Number one this morning, praise Him because He is God. Praise Him because He is God. That phrase there, blessed be God, verse number 3. You find that phrase only in two other places in the New Testament. You'll find it in Ephesians chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 1, both in verse number 3. Oh, and by the way, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3. So all three instances you find this phrase, blessed be God, in verse 3 of an epistle. In Ephesians 1:3, Paul praised God for what He did in the past when He chose us in Christ and blessed us with all spiritual blessings. In 1 Peter 1:3, Peter praised God for future blessings, for that living hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is indeed a living hope. But here in 2 Corinthians, Paul was not praising Him for past blessings. He was not praising Him for future blessings. But here in 2 Corinthians, we find Paul praising God for present blessings, for what God was accomplishing then and there. You know, if we're not careful, we'll get focused on what God has done in the past. We'll get focused on what God will do in the future. But sometimes we'll miss out on what God is doing in the present. And if He has blessed in the past, and if He's going to bless in the future, then no doubt He's blessing right here in the present. You say, oh, but you just don't understand the trials or the tribulations. Maybe not. But He does. Because why? He's the God of all comfort. And if He blessed in the past, if He blessed in the future, He'll bless in the present. During the horrors of the 30 Years' War, Pastor Martin Rinehart faithfully served the people of his little town and his little church. He conducted as many as 40 funerals a day, a total of over 4,000 during his ministry. Yet out of this devastating experience, he wrote a table grace for his children, which today we use as a thanksgiving hymn of praise. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, whose wondrous things hath done, in whom His world rejoices. So how could we possibly praise Him in the trials? Simple, praise Him because He's God. He knows what He's doing. He knew what He was doing in the past. He knows what He's going to do in the future. He knows what He's doing today. Praise Him because He's God. Secondly, praise Him because He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this morning is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You notice there, verse number 3 again, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can call God Father and even approach Him as His children because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when God looks at us, He sees in us His Son, and He loves us, and He loves His Son. The verse here says, we are beloved of God because we are accepted in the Beloved. You see, whatever the Father did for Jesus when He was ministering on earth, He's able to do for you and I today. We are dear to the Father because His Son is dear to Him. And this morning, we are citizens of the kingdom of His dear Son. We are precious to the Father, and He will see to it that the pressures of life will not destroy us. You know, you ever heard the phrase, God will not give us more than we can handle? Well, now, you won't ever find that phrase in Scripture. It's not there. But the concept is, the Lord will never give you more than you can handle. He just won't do it. He knows exactly what you can handle, what I can handle. And because we're precious to Him, He'll be there to see us each step of the way. So we should praise Him because He is God. We should praise Him because He is the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we should praise Him because He is the Father of mercies. Verse number 3 again. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. Now you have to remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He originally came, He came to who? The Jewish people. Salvation was eventually opened for the Gentile, the Greek, because the Jewish people, His people, received Him not. They rejected Him, and so He opened salvation to everybody. But to the Jewish people, that phrase Father, or more specifically, that phrase Father of, means originator of. You go over to the Gospel of John, we have Satan. And Satan, he's called what? The father of lies, because lies originated with him. According to Genesis chapter 4, Jubal was the father of musical instruments because he originated the pipe. and the harp. In that same way, God is the Father of mercies, because all mercy begins with Him. And only mercy can be secured from Him. Now, you see, this morning, God in His grace gives us what we do not deserve. And in His mercy, He does not give us what we do deserve. Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The Bible tells us about God's mercies. It's manifold. It never runs out. God tells us about God's mercy that it's tender. It's gentle. The Bible tells us about God's mercy that it's great. The Bible frequently speaks of the multitude of God's mercies that it's so inexhaustible is the supply that it never runs out. Aren't you thankful this morning that when you wake up every morning, the mercies are new, day by day, morning by morning, you can rest assured. Guess what? You know what? I saw a meme one time, and it talked about, I'm so broke, I went to the ATM, and it printed me a coupon for ramen noodles. You ever been there? You know, you ever been in a month where there's more month at the end of the month than there is money? Yeah, we've all been there, but guess what? We wake up, the mercies never run out. God never runs out of mercy. They're new every morning. They're inexhaustible. It's always there. There's mercy for whatever your need is this morning. We need to praise Him because He's the Father of mercies. He's the Father of mercies this morning. But then not only that, we need to praise Him because He is the God of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort. Verse number 3 again. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That word comfort, or as it's also referred to here in these first 11 verses, consolation, it's the same root word in the Greek. They're repeated 10 times in the first 11 verses. 10 times you have the word comfort or consolation repeated. Now, what we must not do this morning is think of comfort in terms of sympathy. Because sympathy can weaken us instead of strengthen us. What God does not do is He does not come to us and pat us on the head, give us a piece of candy or a toy to distract our attention from the troubles. No, He doesn't do that. We do that. You know, trials come, tribulations comes, heartache comes, and we try and distract ourselves thinking they're just going to go away. Well, folks, just by distracting ourselves, that doesn't mean they're going to go away. Just by distracting ourselves doesn't mean the hard times are going to go away. But no, what God does is He puts strength into our hearts so that we can not only face those trials, but we can triumph over them. The English word comfort comes from two Latin words meaning with strength. The Greek word means to come alongside and help. It's the same word used for the Holy Spirit or the Comforter in John's chapter 14, 15, and 16. And so we find here that God can encourage us by His Word and through His Holy Spirit. But sometimes, you know how else He encourages us? He uses other believers to give us the encouragement that we need. Notice there, if you would, Acts chapter 4. As I want us to be challenged with this morning. Acts chapter 4. Keep your finger there in 2 Corinthians. We'll be back. And I want us to begin there at verse number 32. Because God will use believers to encourage other believers. That's why you hear me harp so often on the believer needs the church. We were not created to be an island unto ourselves. You need church. I need church. We need the fellowship of God's people. We need the fellowship of one another. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. The Bible says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." And here it is. Here's the challenge for us this morning, verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. Notice what it says in parentheses. Which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Here's the challenge this morning. How wonderful it would be if all of us had that nickname, Barnabas, son of consolation, son of comfort. When someone leaves having been in your presence, do they leave encouraged or do they leave discouraged? When they leave your presence, do they say, "Man, I can't wait to get together with them again"? Or is it, "Man, I can't wait not to ever see them again in my life"? Now listen, this morning as Christians, we should seek to be a Barnabas to somebody else. Listen, this morning, we don't know. And listen, I'm not just even talking about fellow Christians now. We should seek to be Barnabas to those people we run into out there in the world. Those who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who may not be saved. Those who may not be involved in church. You don't know this morning who needs just a little bit of encouragement. Maybe this morning when you find yourself discouraged because of difficult circumstances, it's easy to look at yourself and your feelings or to focus on the problems around you. But the first step we must take is to look by faith to the Lord and realize all that God is to us. Psalm 121, verse 1, 2, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." You say, where does my help come from? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We need to remember this morning and praise God for just who He is. As we think about trials this morning, let me give you several parting thoughts. Because this will help us in praising Him in the midst of the trials. Number one, He permits the trials to come. He permits them to come. We must never think this morning that trouble is an accident. He permits them. He allows them. Now, there's several reasons He allows them. Number one, it could be because of some sin in our life. Yes, we know that. But think about some of the people in the Bible who went through trials. Job, for example, in the book of Job. In Job chapter 1, right there in the first few verses, the Bible tells us about Job, that Job was an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil, that he avoided evil. And yet Job, he would go on to lose his health, his family, his possessions, his livestock. His friends would turn on him. His wife would turn on him. And this is a man that feared God, stayed away from evil. prayed for his kids that they might have sinned against God in their heart. You say, why did God allow them to do that or go through those things? Well, we know Satan came to God and said, well, does Job fear you for nothing? Take away everything he has, and will he still praise you the same as he has before? How about us this morning? If God were to take away everything you and I had, will we still love him? Will we still live for him? Will we still praise him like we praise him today? Or will we turn our back on him? You think of the blind man there in the New Testament that Jesus gave sight to. And everybody was murmuring and wondering, well, this man, he's been blind for birth. Who sinned, him or his family? Why else would he be blind? And Jesus comes to him and he says to the crowd, he's blind so that he might give me the praise, the honor, and the glory. You see, sometimes we go through trials and tribulations and heartache and sorrow just to see, are we still going to praise God when the going gets tough? Listen, it's easy to praise God on the mountaintop. It's a whole different thing to praise God in the valley. And I'm not just talking about our geographical location this morning. I'm talking about when the ATM prints you that ramen coupon, more month than money, sickness, trials, tribulations, heartache, nothing seems to be going right. Yeah, it's easy to praise him when everything's going right. But what about when things aren't? Guess what? If he was worthy of our praise and our honor and the glory when things are going right, then he's still worthy of the praise, the honor, the glory when things are going bad. Because he was God in the good times, and guess what? He's still God in the bad times. And he's going to see you through it each step of the way. But we need to remember this morning, he permits the trials to come. But not only that, here's perhaps the best part. Number two, he's in control of the trials. Look there, if you would, verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, and so much that we despaired of life. Not only does he permit the trials to come, but he's in control of the trials. Paul says here, in layman's terms, we were under so great pressure that it was beyond our ability to endure, that we despaired, we despised even life itself. You ever been there? That the trials got so severe, the trials got so bad, that it seemed like it was beyond your ability to endure. Paul here, he was weighed down like a beast of burden with a load so heavy to bear. But God knew just how much Paul could take, and he kept the situation in control. There's an account in the New Testament about Jesus in the ship. And you remember when we were in the Gospel of John, we were talking about the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. Each Gospel account tells a story from a different point of view, from a different perspective. Well, in the one account, I forget which Gospel it's in off the top of my head, but in one of the Gospel accounts of Jesus in the ship, and the storm is raging, we know Jesus went to sleep. Well, in one of those gospel accounts, it's recounted for us that not only was Jesus sleeping, but Jesus was sleeping on some pillows. So he wasn't just sleeping, he was sleeping comfortably. Meanwhile, the winds and the storm is raging and blowing and battering the ship. And those on the ship, they're worried and they're freaking out. And they go down to Jesus and says to Jesus, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And what does he say to him? "O thou of little faith." Listen, Jesus was with them in the midst of the storm. And they were still fearful. Folks, how many times do we forget that Jesus is there in the midst of the storm? And we get fearful. Jesus is in control of the trials. But not only that, God enables us to bear our trials. Notice there, if you would, verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9. The Bible says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead." Paul, we can't endure it on our own. We despair life. We've given ourselves up to the sentence that is death. But praise the Lord, we're not trusting in ourselves. We're trusting in the God who raised even the dead himself. God's hand of deliverance was seen by Paul. Whether he looked back, whether he looked around, or whether he looked ahead. The word Paul here used means to help out of distress, to save and protect. Now, I want you to realize something this morning. God does not always deliver us immediately, nor in the same way. You think about it this morning. James was beheaded, yet Peter was delivered from prison. Now, think about this. One was beheaded. One was set free from prison. Which one was delivered from his trial? Both. You say, but one died. No. Both were delivered, but in different ways. You see, this morning, sometimes God delivers us from our trials. And at other times, he delivers us in our trials. God's deliverance was in response to Paul's faith, as well as the faith of praying people in Corinth. Notice there, verse number 11, for 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on your behalf." Psalm 34 and verse 6, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles." Folks, when's the last time you just cried out to your God, knowing that he hears you, knowing that your pleas, your cries do not fall on deaf ears? But we see here God delivers us from our trials. And then number next and finally this morning, God delivers us, or I'm sorry, God is glorified through our trials. Notice there again, verse number 11. "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." You see, when Paul reported what God had done for him, a great chorus of praise and thanksgiving went up from the saints to the throne of God. You see, this morning, the highest service that you and I can render on earth is to bring glory to God. And sometimes that service involves suffering. You notice how he said it here in verse number 11. "For the gift bestowed upon us." He's talking about the trials. He's talking about the tribulations. He's talking about the heartaches and the sorrows. When's the last time you referred to your trials as a gift? When's the last time you referred to your tribulations as a gift? When's the last time you referred to your heartaches as a gift? Not only that, it also refers to Paul's deliverance from death. Oh, now that's a wonderful gift indeed, isn't it? Paul was this close to death, and God snatched him from it. What a gift indeed. You see, this morning, God works out his purposes in the trials of life if, and only if, we yield to him, trust in him, and obey what he tells us to do. You know, this morning, difficulties can increase our faith. They can. Because difficulties can strengthen our prayer life. Difficulties can draw us closer to other Christians as they share the burdens with us. Again, we're not made to be an island ourselves. So they just won't understand what I'm going through. Folks, you'd be surprised what other Christians might understand what you're going through. Because guess what? If you've endured it, if you went through it, if you've had that trial, the chances are some other Christian has had that same trial, that same tribulation, that same heartache. Difficulties can be used to glorify God, because he is glorified through our trials. And so this morning, when you find yourself in the trials of life, remember what God is to you. And remember what God does for you. And praise him through it all, because he'll be there with you each step of the way to get you through each step of the way. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning.